to Exodus chapter number 19. Exodus chapter 19. There's some mail up here. It says, "Attention, Pastor Freeman." How many of you like opening other people's mail? I'm not going to do that. But I do when it comes to my house. How many of you open the mail, comes to your house, you see something, you know, you don't? Okay, it's just me. I seen something to one of my, Wren got some mail the other day, and I couldn't help it. I had to open it. Come in and told Wren, you got mail, right? After I'd already opened it and read it. But anyway, so yeah, you're glad you're not my neighbor now, aren't you? I don't open my neighbor's mail on purpose. I did not too long ago, open my neighbor's mail on accident. And I said, "Mary, do you know these people were invited to a birthday party?" And then I got to looking at it and I said, "Never mind. Our neighbors are invited to a birthday party." So I had to go take it to their house. So it does pay to look at the front of your mail first and make sure it's for you, right? But anyway. All right, Exodus. Did I tell you what chapter? All right, good. Exodus chapter number 19 tonight. And we are going to look at, if I had a title to my message tonight, I would title it Preparing to Hear from God. Preparing to Hear from God. And so I want to look at Exodus chapter 19. Brother Dan must have knew I was nervous, by the way. I was moderating the beginning of the service. He brought me water. He could just feel the cotton in my mouth, right? Thank you, Brother Dan. I appreciate that. But we're going to look at Exodus chapter 19. Many of you are familiar with Exodus chapter 20. You know what happens in Exodus chapter 20. If you were to look over, you'll see in verse 1 it says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." So if you look in Exodus chapter 20, what you find is the Ten Commandments, the giving of the Ten Commandments, or the giving of the law. And so what I want to look at tonight is Exodus chapter number 19, and I want to look at what led up to God giving the law, God speaking to the children of Israel. Now, I want you to understand something tonight. I'm very aware of the fact that we live in a different dispensation, okay? And so I don't want you to think that I'm preaching this message out of context. I understand the context in which this is written. These people are being given the law. We're not under law. We're under grace. I just got done preaching through the Sermon on the Mount on Sunday nights. I understand the difference between law and grace. I understand the different dispensations, the different periods of time, and how God was dealing with men. And we'll see some of that in the message tonight. And I'll say this as we get into the message. I'm glad we're living in the grace dispensation. Amen. I sure am glad that I am living in the grace dispensation. And so we'll see that a little bit more in a moment. But I do also know this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 says this. It says, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition." They're written for our admonition. If you were to read back in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, what you're going to find is how that the children of Israel had been taken out of Egypt, how they had went across the Red Sea, how God had fed them from manna from heaven, as Pastor preached on Sunday morning, how that there was a cloudy pillar that guided them by day to protect them from the hot desert sun, and a pillar of fire to protect them at night, and how that God had taken care of the children of Israel all through the wilderness. And it comes down to verse number 11, and it says, "These things are written as in samples for our admonition." It's saying we can learn from what happened to them, right? And so I want us to learn tonight from what happened to them in Exodus chapter number 19, and how that they prepared to hear from God. They prepared to hear from God. I wonder tonight how you prepare for the Lord's day. Now, I understand Wednesday night's a little different. I'm going to say some things tonight, and I'm going to try to clarify. I hope nobody will put words in my mouth and take this message out of context of the way it's being preached. But I'm going to say some things tonight that could be twisted and taken the wrong way, but I hope that won't happen. But when I say, how do you prepare to hear from God? I understand it's Wednesday night. It's a little different. Some of you had to rush here to get here from work, or you had to rush home and try to get a bite to eat and get dressed and get to church. And I understand that Wednesdays are a little different. And so when I say this, I'm talking more about the Lord's Day. I'm talking about Sunday. I'm talking about how do we prepare to hear from God. I don't know about you, but when I come to church on Sunday, I want to hear from God. I hope that's what you come to church for. Now, I love our church family, and I mean that. I love seeing the people of God. I love fellowshipping with people and being around Christians and all that goes into that. But when I come to church on Sunday, my number one, or at least number two, desire is to hear from God. I want to worship God. I want to praise God. I want to glorify God by being in the house of God. But I want to hear from God. I believe if I hear from God, then I'll worship God. And so I come to church to hear from God. I hope you come to church to hear from God. And so I want to help you tonight in preparing to hear from God, right? God is getting ready to speak to the children of Israel. God is getting ready to give them the law, the Ten Commandments. And as he does, he prepares them in chapter number 19. And I want us to look at that tonight and see how we can prepare to hear from God, right? And so let's look at some things in chapter number 19. Let's look at verse number 1. It says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. Verse 3 says, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. So the first thing in preparing to hear from God I want us to look at is this, the call, right? The call. You see it in verse number 3? Verse 3, it says, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. So the first thing I see in the preparing to hear the word of God is the call from God. Can I tell you, God has chosen to call men. God has chosen to call men. Verse number 3, it says, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him. You see that? The Lord called unto him, called unto Moses. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't use women to share his message. In some areas and in some settings and in some ways, God does. But when it comes to what we're doing on Sunday, when it comes to joining to worship and to hear the word of God, God calls men. God called a man in Exodus chapter number 19. And God said, Moses, I want you to go and I want you to speak to my people. And so God calls a man. I love a verse in John chapter 1, verse 6. Pastor mentioned E.M. Bounds' power through prayer. Did anybody by any chance, I'm putting you on the spot tonight, did anybody by any chance either order that book, look up that book, or if you already had that book, read that book since Sunday? Anybody? Oh, I'm sorry. God help you. I hope you didn't read far. Did you get far? You just ordered it. Okay. Y'all pray for James, all right? It is a convicting book. I don't know if a book, I've ever read a book more convicting than Power Through Prayer. And I believe verse chapter number 1. I'm not positive. Did you read it, Ruth? Okay. She looked it up. She got in the car. I believe chapter 1 starts out and it talks about there was a man sent from God whose name was John. John chapter 1, verse 6 is that verse of Scripture. That's the reference. But he talks about there was a man sent from God. You know, God sends men. I sure am glad that God sent a man to Fellowship Baptist Church. And I don't say that. Don't get me twisted here. I'm not saying that in a way to demean or to belittle a woman. That is not what I mean at all. I thank God for women of God, and I thank God for the women that He's put into my life and how He's used them. But I'm glad that God sent a man to Fellowship Baptist Church. God sent a man to Madison County. God sent a man to preach His word. And when I say man, I'm not just talking about the gender. I'm talking about the position. I'm talking about a preacher. I'm talking about a prophet here in Moses. But God calls men, and thank God He does. Aren't you glad that even if you didn't say, well, I didn't get saved in Madison County, maybe you got saved in Peru as James did. I'm glad God calls men to go to Peru. I'm glad God calls men to go to the Ivory Coast. I'm glad that God calls men to go all around this world and preach His gospel. And in Exodus chapter number 19, God started out preparing the people of God for the word of God, and He called a man. He called Moses. I thought about Acts chapter 26 and verse 16. I think I read that verse in my message Sunday night where God, Paul is rehearsing back to Agrippa or to Felix, to one of them, about his road to Damascus experience. And he said that God came to him and God spoke to him. And this is what he said in verse 16. He says, "For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness." God said, Paul said that God spoke to me and told me that He had called me to be a minister and to be a witness and to turn people from the light. To turn people from the darkness to the light. You see, God calls men. And so the first step to hearing the word of God, there's a call. There's a call of a man. Not only that, there's a call for meeting. Look at verse number 7. Verse 7, Moses came and he called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Look at verse number 11. Verse 11 says, and at the end of the verse it says that, "For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai." And so God calls Moses and says, "Moses, I've got a message." So you could say this: not only does God call men, but God calls men to give them a message. God said, "Moses, I've got a message that I want you to give to the people." But in order to give that message to the people, they need to all meet together. And so God says, "Moses, go tell the children of Israel, go tell the elders of Israel to gather all the people together and to meet at the foot of the mountain, to come out of the camp and to meet, because I have something I want to say." I'm glad that God is still calling men, but I'm glad God is still calling for men with a message to meet together, to congregate. You could have said the call. I could have said the congregation, right? God says not only is there a call, but there's a congregation. God is calling people together. God says, "I want you to come out of the camp." The camp is where they live. The camp is where their tents are. And God says, "I want you to leave your tents. I want you to leave the camp. I want you to come out and I want you to gather together. I want you to assemble yourselves, to congregate, to meet in one place, because I have a message." And that's what we're doing here tonight. Praise God. But that's what we're going to do Sunday. God has called a man, and God is going to give that man a message, and God has set aside a time for us to meet on the Lord's Day. Now, Wednesday night, not everybody meets on Wednesday night. We meet on Wednesday night. Some folks meet on Tuesday night. Some churches meet on Thursday night. But on the Lord's Day, I believe God's people ought to be meeting together on the Lord's Day. The Bible teaches that. And God calls a man, and God calls a meeting, and God has a message for the people. The psalmist in Psalm 122 verse 1 said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Aren't you glad that we've got a call to church? I know, brethren, I know it gets weird. I feel you tonight, okay? I'm going to do my best. I said I'm going to do my best, all right? You heard that, didn't you, Brother Allen? I didn't make no promises. I said I'm going to do my best to get out of here at a decent time tonight. I sit where you sit on Wednesday night sometimes. It's hard. You've been at work. You've been at school. You've been out all day. You come in on a Wednesday night. You're tired. I understand that. And so Wednesday nights are a little different. I'm not talking about tonight. I think we ought to come to third Wednesday night to hear from God. But I do think Wednesday nights are a little different. We come on Wednesday night to talk to God. Prayer meeting night, right? We come on Wednesday night in a little different way. But on Sunday, let's come to church Sunday ready to hear from God. You say, how am I going to do that, Brother Dave? Well, first step, you got to be here. And thank God we've got a faithful church family. I think about that often. One of the things, I love many things about Fellowship Baptist Church, but one of the things I love the most about Fellowship Baptist Church is the fact that our people are faithful. I mean, look at this crowd on a Wednesday night after all the children left. On a Sunday night, a Sunday morning, our crowd, our numbers don't change much. I don't know. There's not many churches you can go to that have the same crowd on Sunday night, Wednesday night they got on Sunday morning, minus a handful. But Fellowship Baptist Church does. It says something about the people of Fellowship Baptist Church. But let's come and meet together. It's important. And so come and meeting. Number one, we got the call to meet, right? Number two, we see not only did they is there the call, but number two, there's the consecration. Look at verse number 10, chapter 19, verse 10. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today, right? And then verse number 14, it says, and Moses went down from the mountain unto the people and sanctified the people. You say, what does that mean? If you look that word sanctify up, it literally means to set apart. It means it's how they would sanctify the vessels that would be used in the Old Testament tabernacle. They would set them apart for something special. Right? And so he said, God said, Moses, I want to speak to the people, but before I speak, I want you to tell them to be sanctified. That's an inward cleansing. God says, I want them to be clean on the inside. I want them to sanctify themselves. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, right? Holy. You know what that is? Sanctified. Sanctified. He said, hey, I want you to be holy. Present yourselves holy. Present yourself sanctified. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Listen, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. God says, you want to hear from me? Then you need to get sanctified. You need to clean up. You need to come with a heart that's clean before God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 is talking about, Pastor preached out of Hebrews a while back, and I was saying about when I wrote this verse of scripture down, but Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, it says, let us draw near, listen to me, with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And it goes on, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. He says, when you're coming together, you need to come with a clean heart. Purify yourself. You know, we talk about it, but I wonder how often we do it. I've said this for years. You know, one of the things that I love the most about teaching Sunday school, sometimes I'm like, man, I wish I didn't have to teach a Sunday school class. I know, forgive me. I'm sorry. But it's just a lot sometimes. You got praying for another message. You got this, you got that. And it's like you got all these things going through your mind. But one of the things I love about Sunday school, preparing for Sunday school, even preaching on Sunday nights. I used to not preach on Sunday nights. I can say this as someone who has sat there on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and now someone who stands here on Sunday night. One of the things that I love about that is you can, but you don't want to do it without a clean heart. And so it forces you to get your heart right before you teach, before you preach. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You sing in church. And if you've got any spirituality about you at all, and I believe that you do, before you sing, you get a little more serious about your consecration than you do when you don't sing, right? It ain't your Wednesday night to sing. You kind of rushing to church, eating your meal, you know, looking at your phone. It's your Wednesday night to sing. You can't barely eat your food because you're so nervous, and you ain't looking at your phone. You praying, God, please help me tonight. God, I need help. Please don't let me mess up. God, please help me to be a blessing. Help me to be used tonight. Or if you're teaching, if you're doing something like that, it forces you to get your heart right. While we were praying tonight, I went through that list. I noticed I was the last person to stand up, Brother Brian. I think I know why. Because I prayed for all five of those things just like y'all did. And then I said, God, I'm getting ready to get in this pulpit. Please, God, cleanse me. If there is any sin in my life, in my heart, I confess it to you right now. God, cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit. Because I don't want to do this by myself. Can I tell you, we ought to do that no matter what when we come to church. Maybe the reason we're not hearing from God, maybe the reason that some folks come to church week in and week out, week after week after week, and they say, God never speaks to me. I just feel like I haven't heard from God in such a long time. Maybe it's because how we're preparing for the house of God. We're not getting our hearts clean before God before we come to the church. God said, Moses, go down and get the people sanctified. Tell them, clean up. I'm coming. I'm going to speak. And they need to be clean. And so he said, consecrate yourselves. That's inward cleansing. But then look in verse number 10. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Wow, that's interesting. Look at verse number 14. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. I was looking for Lee. I wanted to give him a hard time. Where's Lee at? Is he in there? Oh, I wanted to give him a hard time. I said, man, you ain't reading your Bible, right? I'm just playing. I told y'all it's Wednesday night, right? Lee's covered in grease, man. He came straight from work. I think that's awesome, okay? I want you to know that I think that if you came here straight from work and you're dirty and you got grease underneath your nails or your hair's a mess or whatever, I think, praise God, God's ready to speak to you. Because church is important enough to you to come straight from work, and you would rather have a shower. I know, because when you've been working all day and you want to take a shower, and there's nothing more you'd rather do than that, but you see that church is more important than that. And so I want to make it very clear, thank God for that. Praise God for that, okay? So don't twist what I'm about to say, okay? I told you that what I was going to say could get twisted, and I don't want you to twist it. If you came straight from work tonight to be in the house of God, I commend you for that, and I mean that. But I will say this, on Sunday, the Lord's Day, we ought to clean up for church. It's the Lord's Day. God said, Moses, you tell those people to clean up inward and clean up outward. God said it, brother. Now, I know you say, well, that's in the Old Testament. I could give you some New Testament references as well. I just believe this. I know it's a sensitive subject in our churches today, but I just believe that the way we present ourselves to hear from God says something. It says something. If we are, you know, it's something about the process of getting ready. You know, when you're getting ready to go to a funeral, you get dressed up and you get cleaned up and you get shaved up and you're going to a funeral, and it's almost like, you know, I'm going to something that's important. If you had a job interview, I don't know how they go to job interviews anymore, but I remember when I first got out of high school 20 years ago plus, wow, 25 years ago this year, wow. But when I got out of school, I remember my first job interview, man, I was dressed up. I got more dressed up for my first job interview than I did for church because it was important. I was trying to get that job. I mean, I think it was like to deliver parts of Fisher Auto Parts, and I come in there with a pair of khakis on and a button-up, you know what I mean, to deliver parts for Fishers, right? Why? Because I wanted them to know, hey, this is important. I want this job, right? And I think when we get cleaned up for church, when we shave up and wash up and dress up, and I'm not saying, don't get what I'm saying wrong. I'm not saying you got to wear a shirt and tie and a coat. I'm not saying that at all. These people were living out in the wilderness, sleeping in tents, wandering around in a desert. They were dusty. They were dirty. They were sweaty. And God said, I'm going to speak. And Moses, you go down there, you tell them to clean up on the inside, and I want them to clean up on the outside because I'm going to speak to them. And I just think it says something, the way we come to church. If it's important to us, we'll clean up. We'll wash up. We'll dress up. Your dress up may not be my dress up. My dress up may not be your dress up. I'm okay with that. Some people are not, okay? I'm just going to be honest with you. Some people are not. They think their dress up's your dress up. I'm okay. I'm just saying this. If you dress this way for this important event, then dress this way for this important event because it's important. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying treat it like what it is, important. He said, wash up. I need to move on. Amen. All right, so we see number one, the call. Number two, the consecration. Number three, the cleansing, the cleaning. This is an outward. He says, clean up inward, but clean up outward. Okay? You're going to church. It does something to you mentally. You know what I'm saying? Are y'all with me? It's hard. You know what I mean? If you, it's just different. When you present yourself a certain way, it makes you feel like it's important, right? It's just a mental thing, right? It's just how we are, okay? That's why workplaces will have a uniform that they want you to wear because they know what you got on affects the way that you carry yourself. And so they ask you to wear this because you're representing them and they want you to represent them in a certain way and they know that it's a mental thing, right? And so we come to church, we ought to clean up, we ought to wash up, we ought to cleanse inside, outside, right? All right, praise God, amen. Number four. Concentration. Look at verse number 11. Chapter 19, verse 11. It says, and be, look at the next word. What's it say? Yeah. And be what? Ready. Let's do it one more time. And be what? Ready. Amen. Be ready. I know it's hard on Wednesday night to be ready, but be ready. You know what he's saying? He's saying, hey, I want you to concentrate. God is saying, Moses, you go down there, you tell those people, gather them all together. I want them to congregate in one place. I've got a message for them. I want them to get consecrated. I want them to clean themselves up on the inside. I want them to get clean on the outside. I want them to wash their clothes, and I want them to get ready because I'm going to speak. And he says, and I want them to concentrate. I want them to be ready. That word ready means aware, alert. On guard, right? I want their attention is what God is saying. Look at what he says in verse 11. Be ready against the third day. And the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Look at verse number 15. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. You say, Brother David, you going to preach on that? No. But I tell you what God's saying. He's saying, Moses, you tell those people, I want their undivided attention. Tell them anything that's going to distract them from me speaking to them, don't do it. You know what I put in right there in my notepad where it says, come not at your wives. You could go out beside there and you could say, don't watch a too late of a night movie. Don't, young people, the teenagers in here tonight, don't play video games until the wee hours of the morning on Saturday night. You ought not play them until the wee hours of the morning any night. Parents, you ought not let them play them video games in the middle of the night. Ain't nothing going on good on a video game in the middle of the night, especially in the video games today with the internet access that we have. But don't be playing video games way into the middle of the night. Don't be watching a movie at midnight. Don't be making plans to go to a ball game at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night that's going to get you home at 2 o'clock Sunday morning, and then come to church and think God's going to speak. You're going to hear from God. It's not going to happen. Now I understand there's exceptions. Every now and then there's just an exception. Just sure as I say something, I won't say it publicly. But, well, I will. She's not in here. Oh, no, I won't. Okay. We're going to do something. Lydia's birthday Saturday. We're going to do something for Lydia on her birthday Saturday. But by the grace of God, I'm going to be home by about 6, 7 o'clock. And I don't even like doing nothing on Saturday. Unless you want to feed me a steak or something like that. As long as you do it before 5 o'clock, I'm game. All right, let me watch what I'm about to say, okay? Now, I'm just playing. I mean, it's important. And it really is. Saturday evening is just as important as Sunday morning almost. It's not as important, but it's close. How do you prepare to hear from God? I can tell you for me, it starts Saturday. My family knows. Of course, I said I'm preaching, so it's a different animal for me. But even still, it's a convicting thought. I think sometimes we just, the devil's so good at distracting us, we stay busy up until the wee hours of the morning on Saturday night. We work all day outside, beautiful day, running here, there, got to cook out a picnic, get home, tired, eat a meal, want to watch some TV. Next thing you know, it's 10, 11 o'clock, you're exhausted, and you're going to bed, and you're going to get up and worship God the next day? God said, no, Moses, tell them to concentrate. Don't go at their wives. Be ready. Be alert because I've got something to say. And so I'm just encouraging you tonight, church family. You want to hear from God Sunday? Do some of these things. Start getting ready on Saturday. Lay out the clothes Saturday night so you're not running around looking for a sock on Sunday. That's speaking from experience right there. Ain't nothing gonna get your spirit bad on a Sunday morning worse than you can't find a matching sock. Huh? I'm telling you right now, you be tearing through stuff. I bet Brother Faulkner never had that problem. I joke about that all the time. If I can't find a sock, I'm just gonna go on record and say, every time I preach, people say, boy, you in trouble. I love my wife loves me and I love my wife, right? Right? Praise God. I need assurance every now and then, right? If I can't find a sock on Sunday morning, I can promise you whose fault it is. It's mine. Because there's a place that dirty sock's supposed to go, and if it don't make it there, that's my fault, okay? And every now and then, it may not make it where it needs to go, and I'm looking for it. And I'm like, what did I do with my sock? Right? Anyway, let me move on. It don't matter. You need to get prepared on Saturday, right? Or you got to iron your shirt, and you're thinking, man, we got to be at church in 10 minutes. Look how wrinkled my shirt is. Iron that thing on Saturday, right? Get ready for Sunday, Saturday, so that you can concentrate, so that you can focus, so that you can be ready to hear from God. It's so important. Let me move on. Concentration. We could go on. We could preach a whole message on that, right? Last, cautiousness, carefulness. Look at verse number 12. He says, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. See, I told you, aren't you glad you're living in the grace dispensation? Good night. You mess around back then, wasn't going to turn out good, okay? You come to church chomping on chewing gum back in this day, whew, didn't look good for you. Let's look at verse number 18. And the Mount Sinai was to all together on smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended to the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the mount, on top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up, and the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish, and let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. You say, what does all that mean, Brother David? I think it means you better be careful. You better be careful. Or better, another word would be this, cautious. Now, I think that we could carry this to a unhealthy extreme. But I don't think that's the problem in our day. I don't think this person, my personal opinion, I don't think God wants us coming to church like, you know, some dry, dead, ritualistic, you know what I'm saying? Like you see some of the Catholic mass real young, never mind. But you know what I'm saying? Just real dry and like, you know, everybody's scared to even sneeze. It's okay to sneeze, all right? But I do think that if we're not careful, we can so minimize the house of God and the Word of God and the man of God. We can get so familiar with the things of God. That's one of my biggest dangers of my children growing up in church, is they can be so familiar with church, so familiar with the things of God, that it almost becomes second nature. And it's not as serious as it should be. Can I tell you, when we come to church, that's a serious thing. We ought to come to the house of God cautiously, understanding this is serious. People's souls are at stake. People's lives are changed in a church. Marriages are mended in the house of God. Children are directed and their lives are molded in the house of God. Decisions that will affect the course of our lives are made in the house of God. And so when we come to church, we ought to come cautiously, carefully, understanding that God is going to speak. Ecclesiastes 5:1 says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give sacrifice of fools." Psalm 89:7 says, "God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him." And we could go on and on. There's so many references that talk about how we should come to church and how it's a very serious thing. I don't think it should be a somber thing. It's not a funeral service. Jesus is alive. But we ought to come understanding this is serious. God might want to do something in my life. God might want to do something in my children's lives. God might want to do something in the people that sit on the row in front of me's lives. And how I come may have an effect on that. And so you say, "Brother David, how do we prepare to hear from God?" Well, first there's the call. Answer it. And you did. You're here tonight. And you will be Sunday. I believe that. Answer the call. Number two, consecration. Inward. Sanctify yourselves. Before you come to church, cleanse your heart. "God, if there's anything in my life that would hinder you from speaking to me, God, forgive me of it. Cleanse me of it." Clean up. Take that extra time. Shave. Take a shower. Wash your face. Iron your clothes. I really believe that one of the reasons God told them people to wash their clothes was so that they would be thinking while they're washing. You know, they didn't have washing machines like we do. Man, they had to hand wash them things. And I believe while they were thinking, they were probably thinking, "Man, good night, what are we doing?" Well, God's going to speak. That's why we're doing this. It's a reminder. It's a mental thing. Clean up. Concentrate. Try not to let other distractions into your life. Do anything you can to avoid a Sunday morning argument. Right? Y'all know about them Sunday morning arguments, don't you? We don't have them, but I know your rest of y'all do. We don't, man. We got five kids. Maybe I should start taking my kids to Papa's on Saturday night, and that way I could concentrate on Sunday when I just do whatever you got to do. Take the kids to the grandparents' house Saturday night so you can concentrate on Sunday morning, right? No, I'm just playing. But get ready. Do everything you can Saturday night to get ready for Sunday morning so that the devil doesn't use something to distract you to keep you out of church. It may not be that he just wants you to go with your mind all messed up because you couldn't find your sock or your shirt's not ironed or you got into a little, your muffins got burnt or whatever. You know, your egg wasn't as runny as you like it or whatever it is that's going to get you distracted. Maybe it ain't even just a distraction. Maybe it's going to be that he's going to keep you out of church with it. You're going to stay up too late watching that movie and oversleep on Sunday morning and miss Sunday school. It might have been when God wanted to speak to you. Might have been the very message God had for you. So concentrate. And then be careful. Come into the house of God understanding this is God's house. God does business here. I do this a lot on Saturday nights. And I'm closing, all right? I do this a lot on Saturday nights sometimes. Every so often, my family knows, on Saturday nights sometimes I'll go for a ride. Just want to clear my mind. And I'll come up here, and I'll just walk in this sanctuary, and all the lights are off. And I'll just walk around in here. And I don't know, something about being in an empty sanctuary. It's like something about it. I'm like, this is God's house. Now, I know it's just a building. But when I'm standing here on Saturday evening about 7, 8 o'clock, I know in about 12, 13 hours, it's going to be a ton of people come here to worship God, to hear from God. There's people that need God. They need a message from God. Their hearts are heavy. Their lives are a wreck. And they're going to come into this place because they need to hear from God. And it's just something, man, walking around in here knowing God's going to be in this place tomorrow. Come to church knowing God's going to be in this place. Because the Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst. I'm claiming the promise that God's here. He's here tonight, and he'll be here Sunday. And we ought to come with that thought in mind. God's going to be there. Boy, some people would act different if they thought Donald Trump was going to be here Sunday, wouldn't they? Huh? Boy, they'd come with a different attitude if they thought Donald Trump was going to be here. Can I tell you somebody? It's blasphemous to even think about comparing Donald Trump to God. People do that stuff on Facebook. Come on. God's here. Not some politician, not some celebrity, not some musician, not some millionaire. God. If we were still in Exodus 19 and we're not, and I told you I was done, you could read what God reminded, right before when he called Moses in verse number 3, from verse 3 to verse number 7, you know what he does? He reminds Moses who he is. And he says, Moses, don't forget who I am and what I've done, and go get those people and get them together because I got a message for them. I got something I want to tell them. And so that's how you prepare, or some ways you can prepare to hear from God. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You can stand to your feet. Thank you for your attention tonight. I really appreciate it. I'm going to have the pianist come and play, Meredith. If God's spoken to your heart tonight, you can come to the altar. You can make your chair an altar. It doesn't matter how you do it. Just talk to God. If God spoke to you, you need to do business with God, you can do that tonight. But more than anything, let's come to church Sunday ready to hear from God. I believe if we would all come anticipating, expecting to hear from God, it changed our church services. I believe many of us do. I think that's why we have good church services. That's why God shows up. Because there's some people that come prepared to hear from him. But if we could all just come. It said there all the people came. They all came to hear what God had to say. I'm glad God still got things to say to his people. God is still speaking. I think sometimes we're just not listening. We've got too many distractions, too many other things clouding our mind, and the devil's a master at bringing us to church with everything on our mind but God. Everything but hearing from God. Let's try to come to church this Lord's Day ready to hear from God. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for your goodness. God, thank you for your word. And God, I pray that you would take your word tonight. Just do a work in the hearts of your people. God, I thank you for people that will come to church and put it, make it important to be here and to hear what you have. And God, I pray you'd bless our people tonight for making that sacrifice, that effort to be here. God, I pray that you would bless them in a special way. And God, this Sunday, Lord, I pray that you would help us to come to church ready to hear from you, God. Thank you that you still speak to us, Lord. We sure do. Thank you for that. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You still love me? I'm just joking. I get that every Sunday. I'm like, what'd I say? Say nothing, right? I don't even remember what I said Sunday night. I said something sweet, and somebody asked me if I was in trouble, right? I said something sweet, Miss Jenny. I don't remember what it was, but I'm always saying sweet things, right? I better. Amen. All right. It's good to see everybody here tonight. I guess we're going to get ready to dismiss. Please be in prayer for those things, those five, pray about everything else. Get a prayer list on your way out. But in particular, if you would, please pray for Jessica Merriman's family as they prepare for the funeral services of her mother. Pray for our church services Sunday. Pray for our young people, our youth. And pray, I know you're praying for our country. Pray for the Rochester family. Just pray for God's will to be done, for grace in that situation. And I've been praying, if God's going to take her, just do it. Do it and do it. Make it be easy as it can be on her, as painless as possible. And if that's what God's will is, then and I think that's what the family is almost praying. And so just pray for that family. I can't imagine what they're going through. But thank God for a church family that prays. All right, we're not going to pray. We're just going to dismiss. I don't know what to do. I don't drive this ship at this point, okay? And so, Y'all pray for Lauren as she travels home, travels to Pensacola tomorrow. Pray for Ricky that he don't cry too much when he drops her off, right? Amen. Thank God for church. Love y'all. Have a good week. See you Sunday.